This Thursday night, we're wrapping up the Premier League season with a brilliant live show at the Goat Bar in Dublin. Going to be joined by Liverpool legend Steve McMahon and a couple of Irish legends as well. Glenn Whelan and Richard Dunne are going to be along. That's this Thursday night, the 22nd of May at the Goat Bar in Dublin. To get your tickets, head along to offtheball.com/events. It's all with thanks to Guinness. Never settle.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both monster people.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78 and Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Munster legends Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss Munster getting into the last eight of the URC, securing Champions Cup rugby for next season and beating Benetton in Cork last week. Plenty to discuss on today's episode of the Red 78. Quinny, Fiona, how are you guys? Good to see you as always.
Good, Rory. Great weekend. Last weekend started off with that Munster win. Unbelievable. And old Quinny, I don't think he trusted that they'd get the job done, did he? But they did in the end.
Well, he was sceptical. I'm not sure he didn't trust. He was putting out a word of caution. A note of caution.
I tell you, I got a few text messages after at half time saying you weren't too wrong about their threats and dangerous. But thankfully, Munster got there in the end. I did predict that Munster would win the game. But I was quite nervous about...
There was a few caveats, yeah.
Yeah, look, and that was legitimate. I think they showed that they're very dangerous side, and if they're, you give them any sort of time and space. But an important win, like, for obvious reasons, for qualification, getting into the playoffs, the whole morale, sending the players who are finishing up this season off. So it was a real good atmosphere, and it was very good performance in the second half, I think. Mm. Some of the stuff in the first half could have been better, but we'll obviously talk about it, but I'm not sure we've mentioned 100% line out this season. I know there was only 8 line outs, but it was an important part of getting the results, and lots of good performances from players as well, which was part of it.
Yeah, we'll get into the weeds of all that across the course of this episode of the Red 78. Most important thing is Munster got the win that they needed into the last eight of the URC. Champions Cup will be secured for next season. Before we start rattling into it, Fiona, there's a couple of comments have reached us here in the show.
Yeah, that's it. Cheers again for sending them in, lads. John Carroll has Casey and Ash were standout performers. Casey using line snub as fuel for his performances since selections were announced. Bolter yet, maybe Nash was brilliant in the air and kick chase, underutilized in Irish setup, ? TJ Flanagan, you'd wonder how much of Munster's problems are in their heads, having poor stats and then turning it when they're really under pressure. Can they really be expected to repeat this away winning sequence of 2 years ago while still having a stand-in management group? Stephen has a great win and a great atmosphere in Cork. Some send-off for Pete and Archer and for Conor Murray too. The question is now, lads, why can't we go on and win the URC? Why not? And Barry, the last one, relief to secure Champions Cup rugby. It would have been a nightmare if we hadn't. Casey was immense against the Italians and Jack Crowley's kick for that Abrams try was a beauty. The lads will be full of confidence going to face the Sharks now on Saturday week. There's no reason why we can't beat them over there.
Yeah, no reason why we can't beat them. No reason why Munster can't go on and win the URC. That's the big question. Can they go on and do it? Fiona, this is very much a game of two halves, as Quinny alluded to there on Friday night. Munster, maybe they weren't poor, but Benetton were good in the first half. But second half, Munster just turned on whatever they was said at halftime. Certainly worked.
Yeah, 100%. I thought they kind of were getting the feelers for Benetton as well, early doors. They came out firing. I thought they were so good in attack. A big area for me, Rory, that they fixed in that second half defensively was we were shooting up, especially when we're 5 metres out in the line. I think Casey did it for the scrum, but missed a tackle. There was another for that first Benetton try as well. So I think Munster, once they settled the nerves, they stuck to their systems and... You know, big performance for Pete O'Mahony. I know he was only on for about 15 minutes of that second half, but you could see the energy he was bringing coming out the tunnel at halftime. And look, they stuck in there, grounded out. And especially that attack, I thought at times in the second half, I would imagine, and Quinny can come in on this, the feeling I got was the coaches in the dressing room at halftime took all the pressure off and told them let loose and told them when they play good rugby that they enjoy themselves and it always goes hand. And I just felt like they were trying things, especially in that second half, Crowley's kicking and everything. Oh, yeah. They looked like they were a bit more relaxed and just having a crack, I think.
Was that the case, you reckon, Quinny? Were they just told lads, like, come here, just let the shackles off here, go out and play your game and you'll win this?
Well, Fiona's the coach, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure they were told just, you know, throw the ball around. And I think tactically they changed things a little bit. They were quite shrewd with some of the short kicking, particularly to try and find both wingers. Their box kicking was better. Territorial kicking was better from Jack Crowley as well. So they turned the Benetton players a lot and put a lot of pressure on their wingers. Kilgallen and Calvin Nash in particular were superb with their pressure, retaining ball back. And then they just simplified things as well as you know, made some hard carries and then found space on the edges. So, yeah, 8 clean breaks in the game for them and 8 offloads. Mid-20s again for defenders beaten. And the stats actually for the attack, I mentioned this about Ulster last week, were quite good and promising as well. So certainly a little bit of cohesion was better in the second half. And Benetton, I think they kind of, once were trying to keep the ball a lot in their own half and trying to find space at times, they were quite slow and static in what they were doing in that first half. And Fiona mentioned the line speed from Benetton at times caused them problems. So I think tactically they were better. There was some better short passing, more pace onto the ball, definitely more pace onto the ball. And they just found the right areas and they seemed to kind of build on that momentum. But I think a big part of that was the kicking game. You know, Munster kicked the ball 36 times in the game. Benetton kicked it 20 times. Now Munster had more possession, more territory, but tactically a lot better in that second half. And yeah, obviously no panic really at halftime, and you would, for anyone watching, or I think the hope was that Munster would come out and would fire on their bellies in that second half, and they did that. That can get you so far, this aggression and emotion and all that, but you got to make good decisions then, and I think they did that. They defended very strongly and they put a lot of pressure on that Benetton breakdown. So turned them a lot. The Benetton try in the second half was probably a crooked throw in the line-out. Made it a little bit nervy for the last 10 minutes with that try. Closed the gap a little bit. But I think Munster managed the game really well in the second half. And by the way, there was poor refereeing decisions for both sides. And I think that's something that's kind of concerning, that one or two decisions in that game could have went either way and it could have had a real influence in the game. And you know, I know there's obviously a bit of human error in the refereeing, but when you have a team of 4 officials there, well, referee, assistant referees and a TMO, there's a lot of stuff that was being missed in that game for both sides. I know Benetton were frustrated with some decisions, Munster as well, as I said. Clear crooked throw in the lineup. Everybody can see that. They go on and score a try. It's a 7-pointer. If that's a tight game, Munster lose the game. Benetton can argue about the Jack Crowley try and a few other things as well in the game. But look, on the balance of it, I think Munster were good in the second half. And they didn't have this terrible performance in the first half. They actually, but they just didn't impose their game with pace, aggression and the right sort of tempo in that first half for consistent periods. But it was a really good second half performance and they got the job done. And as anyone that kind of messaged there and got in touch with us was saying, absolutely vital that they're in Champions Cup next year. One or two mentioned there about maybe going on a run that happened 2 years ago.
Why not?
Very tall order, I think. But who knows? It's a tough one going to the Sharks, who've probably not been at their best themselves and shown some vulnerabilities. They have incredible power and physicality. So look, I think a little bit of pressure off now. It's been a very topsy-turvy season. We can go into some of the stats in a minute, but such a vital, vital performance and win on Friday night, stating the obvious. I think if you know, for Champions Cup rugby next year, it's vital that it stays. And, you know, Munster have had such a long association with the European Cup, and so important that they're in it again next year.
This week on Diverted.
I mean, I woke up at like 11:30. I cracked a cold one with the boys. We had some buffalo chicken dip this afternoon.
It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it in Gainesville, baby.
Yeah.
We are in the United States. We're talking college football, Hialeah in Miami, and we're talking pillow fighting.
It's still combat sports. The transition from bare knuckle to pillow fight is good because I'm also a Tai Chi instructor, so you know you got to go from hard to soft.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's amazing the difference 2 weeks Fiona makes, because I mean, like, it was all doom and gloom there for a while. Munster might miss out in Champions Cup rugby. You win two games, now people are texting the same, why can't we win the URC?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? But it just shows the close and tightness of the league table as well, that, you know, a couple of fixtures here and there, Munster mightn't be in there. Whereas I think the last couple of seasons, it became clearer earlier on. It was almost a great battle between teams this week, or this year in particular. So I felt a little bit more nervous in the crowd watching this game. But certainly this team have showed they can come up with huge moments in big games. And I think that's there was a little bit of doubt at times. I think we saw in the La Rochelle, all the belief came back again. There was a couple of iffy performances in there, and people were so, because the season is so topsy-turvy, people were already saying, oh, we might make it. But look, they came out trumps in the end. And I think it's a credit to the league that it's, that we're coming down to that last day of the season and that there's great battles. Obviously, it's more stressful as a Munster fan when that happens. But look, it's a credit to the league and a credit to, I suppose, the South African teams coming into that and making it far more competitive. But I certainly enjoyed a lot of the games this year. And Quinny will probably go into it in a minute. But there was a couple of games Munster could have won that would have pushed them right up for a home semi-final. So you're talking about maybe two, three games there that could have pushed Munster. So it's just been one of those seasons where there was a lot of teams really performing, and especially when the internationals went away, there was some great rugby played as well by all those teams.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit, Quinny. I mean, like, just overall regular season URC now done. Munster have finished sixth. They say the table doesn't lie. Are Munster in the right position, do you think?
Yeah, but, well, they shouldn't be. They should be higher. They finished sixth and having it coming right down to the wire on the last day. You don't want to be involved in that situation. Regarding making the playoffs and Europe, it has happened. They've lost 9 games this year. They finished on 51 points. Glasgow and Ford finished on 59. I think they had a poor run in the last number of weeks. They looked like themselves and Leinster were just going to run away with first and second. Yeah, and you go back last year, Munster had an incredible run after Christmas. Was it 10 or 11 league games? 10 league games, or they won, I can't remember exactly, but they went in a run that they got themselves, they finished top of the league. They would have had, they had a home quarter final. They beat the Ospreys. They would had a home semi, lost to Glasgow, obviously, who went on to win it. But they would have had a final at all the way to the home and would have been, you know, the expectation was that that was going to happen, that they were going to get to a final. The Bulls had beaten Leinster, and then, you know, you think, God, the Bulls are coming to Town Park next week. And there was a lot made of that last year, that maybe Munster, I think there was some sort of an advertisement about the final being the following week, that Glasgow spotted and used it. Yeah, a little bit of a human error there with, in preparation for possibly a final the week after. But anyway, can they go and win a quarterfinal away from home against the Sharks? They have a good chance. If that happens, it's highly likely that they'd be staying on in South Africa and playing the Bulls the following week. I do think Edinburgh have a very good chance against the Bulls as well in that other quarterfinal. So who knows? Munster, maybe if they were to do, if there was two incredible away wins by Munster and Edinburgh, which is highly unlikely, but there is some possibility about that. You know, Munster could be playing a semi-final in Thomond Park against Edinburgh. that'd be kind of a dream scenario. But look, the Sharks and the Bulls, I think at home, are phenomenally powerful. And even though the Sharks haven't, they've got a lot of good results and have had a great run, shown some vulnerabilities. But that might be lulling Munster and maybe all of us into a little false sense of opportunity. Because I think, you know, when they get angry and aggressive and flex their muscles, they can blow teams away with that power. But look, for Munster, if they go out against the Sharks on Saturday week, it's probably to be expected. But there'll be a massive amount of relief about being in Champions Cup next year. But when you lose 9 league games, Rory, to answer your question about the league table doesn't lie. The inconsistencies, particularly, in, you know, you go right back to that Zebre game at the end of September. It was at half time, they had a bonus point win, and they end up getting 1 point out of the game for 4 tries. They were beaten 42-33. It was an horrendous performance. Really, really frustrating to watch. They beat the Ospreys in their next league game the week after, and then they had a real tough run, which was very understandable. You're playing Leinster away in Croke Park, which second half they showed some promise. I remember leaving the stadium in Croke Park that day thinking, yeah, there's a few positives there, and it's yeah, you know, they made a fist of that. Leinster had an incredible start in the game. And then South Africa was always very, very difficult. You know, they lost the 2 games in South Africa. And then went to beat the Lions, beat Ulster. Again, you're always in the back foot when you're playing that Leinster side. They lost that game in Thomond Park. It was a convincing win for Leinster. There's a few of them being tight, those Christmas fixtures, 28-7. And I kept saying probably around that time, post-Christmas, there's a run of matches there, winnable matches. And it started with the Dragons and the Scarlets, 2 wins. And then you're at home to Edinburgh. That's the bad run. They lose to Edinburgh. Scrum was annihilated. And then you go to Glasgow and you get lots of positives and you're in a great position to win the game. And they just couldn't see it out. And that was a game they should have won. Again, go to Connacht. Some very good things in the game. They're hanging on at the end, and they get a result. But then you have this run of the Bulls and the Cardiff game. 2 more losses there, which, yeah, it was frustrating. I think Edinburgh, Glasgow, the Bulls, and Cardiff, you should be picking up at least 2-3 wins there. And they had it. You know, the performance against Edinburgh was really, really dreadful as well in that first half. They came back a bit. So look, in any league table, if you look at the Premier League, every single team who's down mid-table or down where your team is,
easy
16th or 17th, they're playing a big final tonight, actually. You know, the league is about consistency and finding a way to get results. And look at the top end of Liverpool. People say it's a poor league and the standard hasn't been great, but they never really blew anyone away. But it's about finding those consistent behaviours that find your results and having that belief. And too often this year, Munster have kind of been very hit and miss. Not in a sense of a run of games, but very inconsistent in those games, if you know what I mean. So 10 minutes of really good stuff and then 15, 20 minutes of dreadful stuff. And particularly around ball protection and holding onto the ball, turnovers. So the stats are there to back that up. And I think, you know, we spoke 2 years ago about the attack and the effect Mike Prendergast has, the positive effect he's had around the way Munster have played, and from the Johan van Graan era, which was a different way of playing. And Mike's approach to attack and big part of that URC success in 2023 was the way the team attacked, and also good kicking strategy as well. And that the overall stats show that for points scored, Munster were 6th. For tries scored, they were 4th. For offloads, they were 4th. For meters gained, they were 3rd in the league out of 16 teams. This is defenders beaten, they were 5th. Clean breaks, they were 4th. So the metrics there show that the attack is up at the top end of the best teams in the league, which would indicate really good positive returns and winning more than 9 matches. The big problem Munster have had, and we've highlighted it for so long, is the line-out. Line-outs won 15th, and that probably, they were 16th last week. So out of 16 teams in the league, Munster have finished 15th with their line-out success. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that Munster's foundation is built on forwards and set piece and strength and all that stuff. The kind of history, you know, obviously the game has developed, and you know, even in what I played, but like when your line-out success is down at that level, you have big problems. So line-outs won 15th. Line-out steals, so putting pressure on the opposition line-out to try and stop their flow, they're 13th. They have 14 line-out steals in out of 16 teams. So those are the stats that highlight where the problems have been for Munster this year. I think the scrum has been around 7th, 8th, mid-table type success. I think there's definitely games that, notably that Edinburgh game and a couple of others, that the scrum was a problem. Defence in around the mid-table again. So I could go through loads of these. One other big one is, again, it was part of that attack success 2 years ago, is kicks retained. Munster first in the league out of 16 teams. So there's stuff here to build on, but the inconsistencies around turnovers and line-out and sloppiness when they have the ball at times has cost them dearly, and really inconsistent in some of those things. But look, like I said, you get an incredible run last year. You look like you're going to win the league again. You're going to do back-to-back URC titles, and they came unstuck in Thomond Park. They're short players. They're short more depth. The injuries have played a big part as well, of course. Everyone gets injuries, but Munster's injury profile in the last couple of seasons has been horrific.
Yeah, certainly has.
And you know your strength and depth that you talk about then. You legislate for 5, 6, 7, 8 guys are always going to be nearly injured, and there's going to be tough periods, but that's where your depth comes into it. So they're the areas Munster need to get better, and not be continuously struggling in their line-out, because we saw the other night, you can do stuff, you can plan, you can tactically be so much better when you have a line-out, and you have a line-out maul to work off. The league table doesn't lie. I think they finished 6th. Credit to them in the end, because you know, as you said, and someone highlighted in the messages, there's been so many changes around the coaches, Graham Rowntree going, Andy Kiriakou, no line-out specialist there on a consistent basis, you know, the speculation around the head coach, all that kind of stuff. So more than anything, they need a really, really serious pre-season, and they need to try and get some of the players, like Edwin Odogbo is a big impact player that could have a real, it could be a game changer as regards the power and the physicality he can bring. Obviously, you're not relying on one player, but just trying to get, and of course, Michael Millen has come in, and Lee Barron, getting them integrated as well. Yeah, there's a lot of attack, really good attack players in that Munster backline. I think they have a lot more depth there. So, yeah, it's an important one, but I think it's been a very inconsistent season and a very frustrating one at times. But credit to them, they finished and made sure they got into those playoffs. And who knows, there's a little bit less pressure now. But like I say, those stats, they're very, very obvious and they don't lie.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to our podcast in full, where we talk more about Munster's season and we look ahead briefly to the clash with the Sharks in the URC quarterfinal, you can become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.